Bonjour.
Bonjour.
Il fait beau ce matin, oui?
Oui, oui.
Ah, d'accord. Venez-vous ici souvent?
Oui.
Ah, bon, bon. Ah, je vois que vous avez un chou.
Oui.
Certainement, il fait beau ce matin. Je suis révolutionnaire. Et qu'est-ce que vous avez dit?
J'ai dit oh.
Ah. Très intéressant.
Brian Distel and Branette Zatapatik there in an improvised scene from Jean-Kenneth Longer's new movie, Le Fromage Grand. Brian and Branette symbolise the breakdown in communications in our modern society in this exciting new film. And Longer is saying to us, his audience, go on, protest, do something about it, assault the manager, demand your money back. Later on in the film, in a brilliantly conceived montage, Longer mercilessly exposes the violence underlying our society when Brian and Branette again meet on yet another rubbish dump.
Bonjour, encore.
Bonjour.
Je vois qu'aujourd'hui, vous avez une lettre du monde.
Oui.
Bon. Il fait beau encore.
Oui.
Ah, bon. Certain qu'il fait beau encore. Certainement, il fait beau ce matin. Il fait beau hier, oui. Quelle surprise de vous voir encore.
strong meat there from longueur. We were saying, of course, that ultimately materialism, in this case the web's wonder lettuce, must destroy us all. That was for O. Simon, K. Simon, P. Simon and R. Sparrow of Leicester. Later on, we're going to take a look at John Wayne's latest movie, Buckets of Blood Pouring Out of People's Heads. But now, we look ahead. On Tuesday, Chris Conger took a BBC film unit to the location where 20th Century Vole are shooting their latest epic, Scott of the Antarctic.
Sea, sand and sunshine make Paynton the queen of the English Riviera. But for the next 6 months, this sleepy Devonshire resort will be transformed into the blizzard-swept wastes of the South Pole. For today, shooting starts on the epic Scott of the Antarctic, produced by Jerry Schlick.
Hello.
Jerry, you chose Paynton as the location for Scott.
Right, right.
Isn't it a bit of a drawback that there's no snow here?
Well, we have 28,000 cubic feet of Wintrex, which is a new white foam rubber, which actually on screen looks more like snow than snow. And 1,600 cubic US furlongs of white paint with a special snow finish.
And I believe Kirk Vild is playing the title role.
That is correct. We were very thrilled and honored when Kirk agreed to play the part of Lieutenant Scott. Because a star of his magnitude can pick and choose. But he read the title and just flipped. And directing, we have a very fine young British director, James McCrettin, who's been collaborating on the screenplay, of course. Jimmy.
Oh, there you are. Hello, hello, no problem. How's it? Oh, great. Hello, marvellous. Hello. Green Eye. Oh, this is really great. I mean, it's really saying something, don't you think?
Have you started shooting yet?
Yes. Great. Perfect.
No, we haven't started yet. No, but great.
What is the first scene that you shoot this morning?
Great. Terrific. Oh, it's great. No problem. We'll sort it out on the floor. No problem. This film is basically pro-humanity and anti-bad things. And it rips aside the hypocritical facade of our society's gin and tonic and leaves a lot of sacred cows rolling around in agony. Have a drink.
But which scene are we shooting first, Jimmy?
Yes. Great. Oh, marvellous. Well, which scene are we shooting first? What, it's scene 1. Scene 1.
It's in the middle of the movie.
Well, it is now, and you wrote it. I thought we'd cut that. Did we cut?
No, we didn't.
We didn't? Oh, great, that's even better. I'll put it back in. Right, scene 1's back in, everyone. Scene 1's back in. Great, this is the scene. That's outside the tent. Ah, it's so bloody marvellous. Makes you want to throw up.
Now, in this scene, Lieutenant Scott returns to camp in the early morning after walking the Huskies to have brunch with the rest of his team. Oates, played by your very own lovely Terence Lemming, who is an English Cockney officer seconded to the US Navy, and Bowers, played by Seymour Fortescue, the Olympic pole vaulter.
Hi, Lieutenant.
Hi, Oatsy. Sure is a beautiful day already.
Gleet! Gleet! What do you say? I'm just saying gleet! Hugh Evans!
And this is Vanilla Whore as Miss Evans.
Miss Evans?
Right.
Good morning, Miss Evans.
Oh, I've forgotten my line.
Oh, What's her line?
Good morning, Captain Scott.
Oh, yeah. Good morning, Captain. Oh, I'm just not really very happy with that line. Can I just say, hi, Scotty?
Great, be right. You.
Hi, Scary. Oh, sorry. Hi, Stocky. Oh, I'm sorry again. Oh, Jim, I'm just not happy with this line. Hey, can I do it all sort of kooky like this? Hi, Scotty!
Great, we'll see it.
Are you sure that's right?
Oh, it's great.
Jim.
Oh, me.
Jim, I feel we may be running into some problems here in the area of height.
Great, where are they?
Where are who?
I don't know why I was getting confused.
Jim? I feel here that Scott may be too tall in the area of height with reference to Vanilla, who is too near the ground in the area of being too short at this time.
Gee.
Oh, I know! I'm going to dig a pit for Scott and put a box in Vanilla's trench.
Say, why don't I take the boxes off and Vanilla get up out of the trench?
Wouldn't work. It's getting better. Right.
What's
that? Oh, it's easy. I'll work it out. Scott takes his boxes off and you don't stand in the trench.
I saved my line out of the trench?
Isn't that great?
But I've never acted out of a trench. I might fall over. It's dangerous.
Oh, well, could you just try it?
Look, you crumb bum. I'm a star. Star, star, star. I don't get $1 million to act out of a trench. I played Mr. John the Baptist in a trench. And I played Mr. Napoleon Bonaparte in a trench. And I played Miss Alexander Fleming in a furrow. So if you want this scene played out of a trench, will you just get yourself a goddamn stuntman? Huh. Played Miss Galileo in a groove. And I played Mrs. Jesus Christ in a geological syncline.
Greet everyone. Lunch now. Lunch. It's all in the can. Good morning's work.
You haven't done a shot.
I just keep morale up.
Now, this afternoon, we're going to shoot the scene where Scott gets off the boat, onto the ice floe, and he sees the lion, and he fights it, and he kills it, and the blood goes in slow motion.
But there aren't any lions in the Antarctic.
What?
There aren't any lions in the Antarctic.
You're right. There are no lions in the Antarctic. That's ridiculous. Who ever heard of a lion in the Antarctic? Right, lose the lion.
God, keep the lion. It's great.
Lose the lion.
Great. Well, he's in the lion. Be right. Lose the lion, everyone. That's fantastic.
Hey, what's this about, losing the lion?
Well, Kirk, we thought perhaps we might lose the fight with the lion a little bit, Kirk Angel.
Why?
Well, Kirky doll, there are no lions in the Antarctic, baby.
I get to fight the lion.
It'd be silly.
Listen, I gotta fight the lion. That's what that guy Scott's all about. I know, I studied him already.
Why couldn't you fight a penguin?
Fight a penguin?
It needn't be a little penguin. It can be the biggest penguin you've ever seen. An electric penguin, 20 feet high, with long green tentacles that sting people. And you can stab it in the wings and the blood can go spurting in slow motion.
The lion is in the contract.
He fights the lion.
He's fat. Get on, Jake. Hey, lose the penguin. Stand by the shoot.
Africa. That's it. Scott's in Africa. As many lions as we need. Scott's a hole no one else knows about. That ties in with the sand. Right, paint the sand yellow again. Okay, let's get this show on the road. Scott of the Sahara.
See, Ensign Oates' frank adult death struggle with the spine-chilling giant electric penguin.
Now for something completely different.
Monty Python, the Flying Circus.
Yes, mothers, it's time once again for Conrad Poos and his dancing teeth.
Is in fact holding a letter, not a telegram. Thank you. A letter. A letter.
Buy a fish license, please.
Mm. The man's sign must be wrong. I have in the past noticed a marked discrepancy between these post office signs and the activities carried out beneath. But soft, let us see how Dame Fortune smiles upon my next postal adventure. Hello, I would like to buy a fish license, please.
A what?
A license for my pet fish, Eric.
How do you know my name is Eric?
No. My fish's name is Eric. Eric the fish. He's an halibut.
He's a what?
He is an halibut.
You've got a pet halibut?
Yes. I chose him out of thousands. I didn't like the others. They're all too flat.
You're a loony.
I am not a loony. Why should I be tarred with the epithet loony merely because I have a pet halibut? I've heard tell that Sir Gerald Nabarro has a pet prawn called Salmon, and you wouldn't call Sir Gerald a loony, would you? Furthermore, Dawn Palethorpe, the lady show jumper, had a clam called Sir Stafford after the late Chancellor. Alan Bullock has two pikes, both called Norman, and the late great Marcel Proust had an haddock. If you're calling the author of Our Lord Recherche to Tom Perdue a loony, I should have to ask you to step outside.
All right. You want a license?
Yes.
For a fish?
Yes.
You are a loony.
Look, it's a bleeding pet, isn't it? I've got a license for me pet dog, Eric, and I've got a license for me pet cat, Eric.
You don't need a license for a cat.
You bleeding well do, and I've got one. Oh, you're not kitching me out there.
There is no such thing as a bloody cat license.
Yes, there is.
No, there isn't.
Is.
Isn't it? That is a dog license with the word dog crossed out and the word cat written in ink.
Well, the man didn't have the proper form. The man from the cat detective van.
Loony detective van, you mean?
It's people like you what causes unrest.
All right, what cat detective van?
The cat detective van for the Ministry of Housing.
Housing?
It's spelt that way on the van. I'm very observant. I've never seen so many aerials in my life. The man told me their equipment could pinpoint a purr at 400 yards. And Eric, being such a happy cat, was a piece of cake.
How much did this cost?
60 quid and 8 guineas for the fruit bat.
What fruit bat?
Eric the fruit bat.
And all your pets called Eric?
There's nothing so odd about that. Kemal Ataturk had an entire menagerie all called Abdul.
No, he didn't.
Did. There you are. Kemal Ataturk, the man by E.W. Swanton, with a 4x5 cool anchor. Page 91, please.
I owe you an apology, sir.
Spoken like a gentleman. Now, are you going to give me this fish license?
I promise you there is no such thing. You don't need one.
Then I would like a statement to that effect, signed by the Lord Mayor.
You're in luck.
And now, there is the Mayor. Surely the third tallest mayor in Derby's history. And there are the aldermen, magnificently resplendent in their aldermanic hose. And just look at the power in those thighs. The New Zealanders are going to find it pretty tough going in the set pieces in the second half. So Dawn Palethorpe with one clear round on Sir Gerald. And now the mayor has reached the great customer, Mr. Eric Praline. And now the mayoral human being takes the mayoral pen in his mayoral hand and, watched by the Lady Mayoress, who, of course, scored that magnificent try in the first half, signs the fishy exemption. And the great customer, Mr. Eric Praline, who is understandably awed by the magnificence and even the absurdity of this great occasion here at Cardiff Arms Park, has finally gone spare. And there is the going sparrow look on the front of his head. And now the aldermen are finishing their oranges and leaving the post office for the start of the second half.
And
here come the Derby Council 15 following the All Blacks out onto the pitch. There at the in the centre of the picture, you can see Dawn Palethorpe on Sir Gerald, one of the fastest wingers we must have seen in England this season. On the left-hand side of the picture, the Lord Mayor has been running such wonderful possession for Derby Council in the lines out. And it's the All Blacks to kick off, Wilson to kick off. Oh, and I can see there the chairman of the Byways and Highways Committee, who's obviously recovered from that very nasty blow he got in that loose ball in the first half. And Wilson kicks off, and it's the Town Tucks taking the ball beautifully there. The All Blacks are up on it very fast, and the whistle is gone. I'm not quite sure what happened there. I couldn't see, but there's a scrum down. I think it's an All Blacks ball. Well, they were up on them very fast. Obviously, they're going to try very hard in this half to wipe out this five-point deficit. Derby Council, 8 points and three up, and Derby Council have got the ball against the head. There is the Barrow Surveyor, the scrum half, is out of the chairway of the chairman of the Highway and Byway Committee, who's kicked for touch. The line out, and it's into the line out, and the Mayor has got the ball again to the Barrow Surveyor. He's left out the medical officer of health, straight along the line to the Lady Mayoress, and the Lady Mayoress is going to go through. Number two is Mister, who's taking up to the fullback, who's only the fullback to beat, and she has scored. The Lady Mayoress has scored. It's 11 points to three.
Cliff, this must have been a very disappointing result for the All Blacks.
Well, they've had very bad luck on the tour so far. In fact, they missed four very easy kicks against the Exeter Amateur Operatic Society, which must have cost them the match. And then, of course, there was that crippling defeat at the hands of the Derry and Tom Soft Toy Department. So I don't think they can really be fancying their chances against the London Pools on Saturday.
And what about China?
Well, whether Mao Zedong is alive or not, Lin Piao has a stranglehold on the Central Committee, which Lin Shaoqi can't break. So it remains to be seen whether Chu Enlai can really get his finger out and get going in the second half.
Well, thank you, Cliff. Tonight's other outstanding match was the semi-final between the Bournemouth gynecologists and the Watford Long John Silver impersonators. We bring you edited highlights of the match. Night, ladies and gentlemen. But remember, if you've enjoyed watching the show just half as much as we've enjoyed doing it, then we've enjoyed it twice as much as you.